Good morning. My name is Daylene Charles, and I am pastor of missions here at EBIC. Today, as was mentioned earlier in Jeff's prayer, the Brethren Christ denomination of the U.S. is gathering in Kansas for their biannual General Assembly, used to be called General Conference. And this is a time for the people of our denomination to gather for worship and for prayer and for decision making. And we have several people from here at EBIC representing our congregation today in Kansas, including a number of our pastors. Hence, the reason I am sharing the sermon with you today. Well, throughout the course of this year, we have been periodically taking a break from our regular sermon series, and we've been looking at different ways we connect with God according to our own unique spiritual temperament. This series has been called Go Deep throughout this year, and it's based on the book Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. A sacred pathway describes the way we relate to God, how we draw near to him, or as Pastor Adam talked about last week, living in the wonder of God. So far this year in our Go Deep series, we've looked at some of the following pathways: loving God intimately, loving God through creation and the outdoors, loving God in solitude and simplicity, loving God with the mind and intellect, and loving God by loving others. Well, this morning, we are going to be looking at loving God through tradition. Thank you, Michael. Actually, we wanted to try to find a way we could have Michael sitting right up there. If you know what this theme that he was playing, it's the theme from Fiddler on the Roof. And that is the story of a Jewish father named Tevyeh and his family. And throughout the story, Tevyeh struggles to maintain his Jewish religious traditions as the world all around him is constantly changing and threatening all that he holds dear. At one point in the musical, Tevyeh sings, "Without tradition, our lives would be as shaky as a fiddler on the roof." Well, tradition is the transmission of customs or beliefs from generation to generation. It is an inherited or established pattern of thought, action, or behavior. So if you feel close to God when you're participating in a familiar form of worship, if rituals and symbols help you to worship and in remembering what God has done for you, if you like regular daily routines, prayer routines, and structured devotional times, you might be especially drawn to connecting to God through tradition. Well, in the context of our faith as Christ followers, traditions, religious practices, and rituals can be a helpful way for us to have a deep and growing relationship with God, loving God through tradition. Now, religious practices and traditions marked the lives of many people in the Old Testament. Abram regularly built altars to God for prayer and worship as reminders of God's promise to bless him. This practice brought form to Abram's faith. In Genesis 12, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' And so Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then Abram moved to another area and pitched his tent, and he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." Later on in the Old Testament, Ezra, who was a scribe and a priest, led the Israelites to a renewed understanding of God's law after they had spent many, many years in captivity. And over the course of 7 days, Ezra read God's law out loud, translating and interpreting it for the people's understanding. And the result was a mighty revival. Ezra led the Israelites to sacrifice and to confession and in renewing their covenant with God. Nehemiah 8 says, "So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, 'Amen, amen.' And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Well, in the New Testament, Jesus observed many of the Jewish religious practices and traditions, meaningful traditions that communicated truth. Luke 4 says that Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus, later on in Jesus' life here on earth, Jesus and his disciples also celebrated the Passover meal together. And this was the last meal that they were to have together before Jesus' death. And he took the elements of the Passover meal and made them symbols for his coming death. Luke 22, a familiar passage to all of us. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Well, there are three elements that we're going to talk about this morning that help us to understand the sacred pathway of tradition. And the first one is ritual. Ritual is an act or a series of acts regularly repeated in a set order. Very simply, it is the power of reinforced behavior. Rituals provide structure to our faith. When Joshua was ready to begin leading the people of Israel after Moses' death, God said to Joshua in the very beginning of Joshua 1:8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God was instructing Joshua to have a regular and established pattern to his days where he would take time to read God's law and meditate on it. Well, here are a few ways that we might incorporate ritual into our lives. Incorporate a daily ritual of meditating on Scripture, just as Joshua did. Meditate on Scripture each day. Consider reading Scripture out loud or listening to it as you drive to work. Incorporate a daily ritual of prayer, and some people call this a rule of prayer, something that guides your prayers each day. This might be as simple as starting your prayer time reciting the Lord's Prayer, or by using a formula in your praying, like the ACTS acronym is very popular: Adoration, Confession, Supplication, and Thanksgiving. I have found it useful for me personally to have a list in my journal of the days of the week, and I have assigned things that I'm praying for each day of the week. It might be certain people, certain members of my family, missionaries, certain countries of the world that I'm praying for. And this rule of prayer for me helps to keep me focused in my prayer times. Finally, think about incorporating a ritual of celebrating special days. And this might include Lent, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, Ascension Day, Pentecost, Christmas. All these holy days remind us of milestones in Jesus' life. They are days to remember, to worship, and to teach our children. I was recently reading Psalm 81, which is actually a hymn that celebrates the exodus of the people of Israel out of the bondage they were suffering in Egypt. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon. And when the moon is full on the day of our festival, this is a decree for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. God had instructed Israel to observe certain holidays and feasts. And these were times of great rejoicing and times of remembering all the miracles that God had done for his people over the years and for his steadfast and unchanging love. Well, second element of tradition is the use of symbols. And symbols are simply a mark, a sign, or a word that represents an idea or a relationship. Symbols, I think, can help us overcome one of life's most frustrating things, and that is the problem of poor memory. In Deuteronomy 11, God instructed the Israelites to fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. A favorite hymn of mine is the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, by Pastor Robert Robinson. And the second verse of that hymn, which has now been modernized in our hymnals here at EBIC, the original words that I remember singing as a child were, Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. Now, when I was young, I wondered what on earth the hymn writer was saying here, why he wanted us to raise up Ebenezer Scrooge from Dickens' Christmas Carol. It was very confusing to my young mind. And, you know, it wasn't until much later that I realized the true meaning of those words. In 1 Samuel, the Israelites were constantly having great difficulty with their arch enemies, the Philistines. But God rescued them, and in response, the people set up a large stone to help them remember what God had done for them. And they called it the Ebenezer Stone. It says in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Well, the use of symbols can be helpful to us in remembering God's faithfulness. Symbols such as the cross or the bread and the cup when we have communion. Or maybe for you, it's a personal symbol that represents a significant day in your journey with God. Or it might be a symbol that is a reminder for you to pray each and every day. Recently, I heard a pastor share that each day he drives his children to work. It's about a 20-minute drive. And at a certain point in their drive, they come to a traffic circle. And he uses that as a symbol to remind him that it's now time to pray with his children for their day. And he went on to say that because that has become such a habit, such a tradition, that if he forgets to start praying when they get to the traffic circle, he'll hear a little voice behind him say, Dad, remember, it's time to pray for our day. Symbols can help us remember God's victories the things he has done for us in the past. They can help us gain confidence and strength for today so that we might live God-honoring lives for the future. Well, third element of tradition is that of sacrifice. Sacrifice is giving to God whatever he requires of our time, our possessions, and our energies to further his work. Sacrifice, I believe, is at the heart of Christianity. It reminds us that we are God's servants. Our lives are not our own, they are his. Romans 12 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship." Here are a few ways to incorporate sacrifice in your lives. Sacrificing during Lent. Many people choose to do this during the time, the weeks leading up to Christ's death. Giving up something of value during Lent helps us to reflect on and remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. We sacrifice to remember his sacrifice. Another avenue of sacrificing is fasting, giving up food for a particular period of time to pray for God's direction or for a particular need that you have. And finally, giving, sacrificial giving of our possessions, our finances, our time, our energies. Now, as we think about the sacred pathway of tradition, I want to offer up a few words of caution with regard to traditions. And the first one is serving God without knowing God. The use of tradition should never be a substitute for faith in God. Meaningful use of tradition can bring us closer to God. It can deepen and strengthen our relationship with him, but it cannot and should not ever take the place of God. We must never worship our traditions. A second word of caution is neglecting to serve others. God in the Old Testament spoke to his people through the prophet Amos these very strong words: I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. The prophet Amos was calling the people of Israel to confession. Their religious traditions and practices and sacrifices had become meaningless to them. They were focused on themselves and not on righteous living, not on God, and certainly not on those in need. You know, Jesus also warned us against empty displays of religion when he said in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." A third word of caution is judging others. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." You know, if our traditions become a point of division, if we have the attitude, well, we do things better here than they do over there, If our traditions become an empty exercise that fills us with insincerity and pride, we have put tradition before God. Author Gary Thomas says, when the original meaning is lost, the symbol, the tradition, is of no more value than an expired coupon. Well, I grew up in the Grantham Brethren in Christ Church. It was a wonderful place to worship, and it was a wonderful place for me to grow up. It's where I committed my life to Christ, and I have very many, many happy memories of that time. And then I went to college, and I went somewhere where there were no Brethren in Christ churches. And so I really prayed about this and decided that the Lord was leading me to go to a number of the different churches in that community and become involved and worship in those churches. And I attended for my first year the Grace United Methodist Church, which was the campus church, a wonderful place to be and to worship. And for another year, I worshiped at the Greystone Episcopal Church. I had never experienced a worship service using liturgy and having communion every Sunday and passing the peace and greeting to the people seated next to me. It was very beautiful. And then for an entire summer, I attended the House of Yahweh. The name alone will tell you that this church was like nothing I had ever experienced before. Singing for an entire hour, people dancing in the aisles, waving banners, singing in the spirit, and then a sermon that lasted a whole nother hour. Don't worry, this sermon will not last a whole hour. Well, I have to say that all these experiences really deepened my faith and helped me to understand how valuable tradition is for us. Gary Thomas writes, sometimes just stepping out of our tradition will help us to understand familiar parts of our faith in a new way. So I want to encourage you to explore loving God through tradition. And my prayer is that you will discover one or all of the following. And the first one is this: traditions can sustain us and comfort us when we're going through difficult times. I have much admiration for Corrie ten Boom. I have quoted her a number of times in my messages here at EBIC. During World War II, in case you don't know who she is or who she was, Corrie, along with her father and sister, they lived in Holland, and they helped to hide many Jewish people that were escaping the atrocities that were occurring in Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. Eventually, Corrie and her family were arrested. Corrie and her sister went to Ravensbrück concentration camp, and her father and sister died in prison. And Corrie eventually survived and went on to become a writer and a speaker, sharing about God's love and forgiveness and her incredible story all over the world. Corrie has this story from her childhood. My security, Corrie said, was assured in many ways as a child. Every night I would go to the door of my room in my nightie and call out, "Papa, I'm ready for bed." He would come to my room and pray with me before I went to sleep. I can remember that he always took time with me, and he would tuck the blankets around my shoulders very carefully with his own characteristic precision. And then he would put his hand gently on my face and say, "Sleep well, Corrie. I love you." Many years later, in a concentration camp in Germany, I sometimes remembered the feeling of my father's hand on my face when I was lying beside Betsy on a wretched, dirty mattress in that dehumanizing prison. I would say, "Oh, Lord, let me feel your hand upon me. May I creep under the shadow of your wings." In the midst of that suffering was my Heavenly Father's security. That was a tradition that sustained and comforted and reminded Corrie of God's love for her. Secondly, I believe traditions can help to keep us on the right path. Will and I enjoy hiking. I believe I have a picture coming up here. And when you hike above the tree line, there are no trees with markings on them to mark the way that you're supposed to go on the trail. So you have to depend on little stacks of rocks. You might be able to see one off of my shoulder there, cairns. And these are set along the trail to mark your way. And you can see this as I hike to the top of Sacagawea Peak in Montana. And believe me, for someone who's scared of heights and wants to stay on the path, those symbols were very helpful so that I wouldn't go careening off a steep cliff to my death. Well, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Thirdly, I think traditions can help us to make a new start. And sometimes we find situations in our lives where we need to make a new start. The Christmas of 1978 was the first Christmas after I lost my father when he was only 40 and I was only 15. He died very suddenly, and my family was still reeling from the grief and loss of losing my dad. And that Christmas, my mother decided it was time to start some new traditions on how we celebrated Christmas as a family. We still remembered the past and my father, but our new traditions marked a turning of the page, a new beginning, a new start. And in some small way, that brought a measure of healing for us. New traditions can help us mark new beginnings in our life. It could be a symbolic reminder of when we accepted Christ as our Savior, or a decision that we've made to turn from a particular sin that we're struggling with, or an addiction, or a tradition that reminds us of the healing that we have experienced in the past in our lives. And finally, I believe traditions can remind us of what we believe. Throughout church history, the reciting of the Apostles' Creed has been a way for Christians to declare what we believe. And this morning, we're going to say the Apostles' Creed together. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up now. And we're going to declare this day what we believe. And I want to encourage you as we do this to not just mindlessly say these words, but to say these words with conviction, as they are clear and strong statements of our faith. I invite you to stand with me now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.